Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want you to feel squeezed ever when it comes to information that you have to provide to the people. Now, Two Cuts, you told us right before you went that you had to make a little cut.
Yeah, we had to make an adjustment.
An edit.
So what happens with breaking news? You know, it's a totem pole.
Well, you were getting ready to do an update, and Brian Daboll gets fired. So you had to dump a story. What was the story you had to dump?
So the story that I had to dump is that Tatsuya Imai out of the Nippon Professional Baseball League is going to be posted today. He is a right-handed starting pitcher at, get this, 5'11", I think, 5'10", 150 pounds, but a 1.97 ERA last year, 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. Pretty good guy. He's expected to get like a $200 million contract.
Got a fastball and this, between 94 and
99. This after Munetaka Murakami was posted last week.
Okay. So what's the new guy's name?
Tatsuya Imai.
Okay, gotcha.
I-M-A-I.
Yep, that's Imai. What I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
It's not Drew.
Drew Imai. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
It's not Jackson Imai or Aiden.
No, Braden.
It's not Power.
Hunter.
No. All right. Thanks, Two Cuts.
Appreciate it. Just a reminder, tomorrow's big day here on 97.1 Dan Campbell. I'm sure they'll have plenty of questions about him calling plays on the morning show. He'll join him at 8 o'clock. Jared Goff joins us at 10:30 here on 97.1. Hey, we got Champ and Chump every Monday, 248-539-9797. Aubrey in Farmington Hills, you're on 97.1. Hello, Aubrey.
Hey, guys. As always, you do a great job. I'll echo the previous caller on the Chump. The young man from the Commanders and running his giblets for no good reason, just to get trucked on the next play. Shame on him. The reason I called, though, is about Dan Campbell. You know, he's kind of set himself up for a bit of a conundrum, but the fact that he had the leadership skills, if you will, to make a courageous call to say, I'm going to call the plays. I mean, a lot of coaches would have, you know, kind of kicked that ball down the path, if you will, and said, we'll ride it out with John Morton. And, you know, we'll get this thing turned around. But, you know, Campbell said, hey, at the end of the day, I'm the one that's responsible. I'm the one that has his job on the line if we don't get this done. And for him to have that courage, I think, is really good. Now, frankly, I felt a little bad for John Morton because now you start to think about what is the path back for him to be able to call plays? And is that path there?
For the Lions? It might not be.
For the Lions.
Yeah, it might not be. And look,
yeah, that's tough.
I think their behavior after the game speaks volumes about the fact that they found a use for John Morton and that he is still bringing a skill set that they are using to help them win games. Because between Jared Goff and Dan Campbell, they went out of their way to make sure that they did not that they were talking about the difference between this and between when they did it with Anthony Lynn. So I don't think it's lip service. They don't have anything to gain by protecting him if he wasn't helping them. So it's a tough needle to thread. I think probably it means that you know, the John Morton has to swallow some pride and just say, look, I'm going to do this job. And we're gonna finish out this season and worry about that. But it's on to Philly, right? I mean, they don't have time to worry about what's next in
no,
the big picture. It's
That's
on to
right.
Philly.
It's all in front of us, big things ahead. And look, Dan can't afford to make the mistake, and you've already alluded to it, he won't, to go back to John Morton and trust him to make play calls. There's no upside to that.
It seems very unlikely at this point that that would go down. I'll never say never. He did mention after the game yesterday, and Aubrey, we appreciate the phone call, he did mention that it changes the dynamic on the sideline. When you're the head coach and you're not calling plays, you kind of have a pulse on everything that's going on. When you're calling plays, he said at one point the defense is on the field. He's just getting ready for his next offensive series. He's looking at his play sheet and figuring out what he wants to do. And so it's a different deal. And, you know, the small example you could see, a small tangible example you could see is when Khalif Raymond caught that pass over the middle and they ruled it incomplete. And they showed Dan Campbell on the sideline making the next play call. And there was a young assistant coach next to him who suddenly took his headset off and said something to Campbell, and Campbell immediately threw the red flag. It was like, all right, all the challenges, you guys handle that. Just tell me if I'm throwing the flag or not. That's an example. He wasn't involved. It didn't look like he was involved in those discussions. It looked like there was a coach specifically there with him, like a game management guy.
Yeah.
And probably other people taking over those responsibilities, where there probably are people that those are their responsibilities, but they talk directly to Campbell.
So they said they talked to somebody else and say, no, Khalif Raymond caught that ball. Let's challenge it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have to shift around some of the duties, but hey, man, whatever it did worked. I think it's highly unlikely that John Morton returns to call plays for the Lions this year. But there's a reason. I don't think they defend him as adamantly as they did after the game if he wasn't still bringing something to this equation.
I think they made it painfully clear that he's not off the team and he's not being fired at all. They really like John Morton. It's just it's going to be a changing role.
Yeah. Yep. You know, a big sequence, coaches talk about the middle eight. When you get the football to start the second half, you get the luxury of trying to manipulate the clock at the end of the first half to have back-to-back possessions.
Double dip.
And win the middle eight. And the Lions, two of their more impressive drives, one didn't even result in a touchdown. But the first one, it took over at their own 33. They had some big conversions. They had the fourth and one, and that game was still in doubt. Like, it was 22-10.
Yep.
And the Lions had the ball late in the first half near midfield, and they had a fourth and one. If they don't convert there, Washington's got the football with good field position down 22-10, and the game could take a totally different turn. But it was a third and three. They handed off to Montgomery. He got 2 yards. Now it's fourth and one. And, of course, the Lions are going to go for it regardless. I mean, we just know. It's weird how it isn't even a discussion anymore. Like, you just instinctively know the Lions. There's no hesitation. The announcers don't even talk about it. Oh, it's fourth and one.
And it's the same with every team because Dan Campbell was the trailblazer with this.
Yeah, but
Now everybody does it, but there's no question with the Lions.
The data was that the Lions had gone for it, and this was at some point last year. They'd gone for it like twice as much as the next closest team, and their conversion rate was better than anybody. And Dan Campbell's brought that to the table. It's so much of their DNA, we don't even think about it when he's going for it on fourth down, but they completed the pass. Goff completed that quick hitter to LaPorta. Was it LaPorta or was it Brock Wright? It was LaPorta.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then shortly thereafter, they've got another fourth and one. And They line up. They got three receivers to the left, and it's fourth and one, and nobody covers Khalif Raymond. His route was, you just go about four steps, stop, and turn around, and he was wide open. It wasn't any kind of complicated route.
No, it was great, and I think that was the play where when Goff, right before they approached the line of scrimmage, he turns around and says something to Montgomery, and when he did that, I thought in my mind, the first thing I thought was, they're not running it. He's telling him something about protection. There's no way that he's talking to him about, oh, make sure you...
Interesting. How was your conclusion? I didn't notice that.
And then they went ahead and threw it for the first down. But it's kind of an eventful series there as I look back at my notes. First part I wrote was, can they get the first part of the double dip? And the second thing was they challenged the play.
Yep.
that they got overturned, and it was for the Khalif Raymond catch. Glasgow got hurt on that drive. Tristan Colon went in. And it was also at some point in my notes here, I said, is Dan Campbell calling plays? Because I think that's the first time in the game where they made a mention of it and they showed him on a...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sideline with the menu. So I'm guessing he was calling plays the whole game.
It was.
Yeah. But we didn't know until that drive, really, when they mentioned it on TV.
They hadn't said anything about it, but there were plenty of shots with him. And I'm like, early in that game where I'm like, is he calling plays there? But the announcers eventually caught up. Some of the beat reporters were tweeting about it too and pointing out that he'd been holding a menu all year long. And this is not unique that he's holding the menu, but.
But now the menu is going up.
Yeah, but he had the menu and he had glasses.
And the glasses.
And the glasses on. Glasses. Yeah, you go with the glasses, it changes everything, right?
Yeah, and then to complete your thought in the second half, to get the second part of the double dip, I mean, right away, the 22-yard pass to J-Mo, the 10 to Tesla, 15-yard run for Gibbs, another 12-yard pass to J-Mo, and then you finish up with a 14-yard touchdown pass to J-Mo, and that knocked that lead up to 32 to 10. From 22 to 10 to 32 to 10 in a matter of minutes. And
the middle
it was
eight.
Done.
Yep. Dominate the middle eight.
That they did.
Yep. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. Champa Chump, last hour to get your votes in. I tell you what, this Piston team making a run for Champa the weekend. People love what they're seeing. They're getting some love today here on 97.1. Plus, Lions with a big win, 44-22. Huge Monday night game. Philly and Green Bay coming up tonight. Michigan and Michigan State getting ready to hit back on the practice field after having the weekend off. We'll talk a little bit about the Wolverines and Spartans coming up today at 1:20. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
About the difference in the game yesterday, you have Dan Campbell calling plays and how that worked out. Obviously, it worked out very well. Lions had 546 yards in offense. They ran 68 plays. That, to me, is insane. 68 plays. Goff had 320 passing yards to go with three touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs had 172 yards in total offense along with three touchdowns. The Lions ran for 226 yards, just under 7 yards per carry. There were no punts for the Lions, no turnovers for the Lions. They didn't give up any sacks. This was the perfect way to respond to a week of practice, Doug, where it seemed like the coach had put everybody out there on blast and said, we all got to be better. Coaches have got to be better. Players have got to be better. The effort against Minnesota was one that they want to throw in the rearview mirror as quickly as they can, and they did with the next opportunity. It's exactly what happened. We said this was a respond game, a get-right game, and they got right, and they responded.
Last Wednesday, we ran a Twitter poll. The Detroit Lions still win the Super Bowl. The Detroit Lions' Super Bowl chances have taken a huge hit. The Detroit Lions are done. No Super Bowl this year. The Detroit Lions' Super Bowl chances have taken a huge hit, 44.2%. The Detroit Lions are done. No Super Bowl this year, 39.3%. Detroit Lions still win the Super Bowl, 16.4%. It's amazing. A week later, they go beat a Washington team that they should beat, okay? Washington is banged up. They're not very good. And, you know, that was what we hoped happened last year in the divisional round game when they played Washington. Detroit just takes them behind a woodshed from beginning to end, and it didn't. They lost that game. But they win this game, and it hasn't really moved the needle too much with me where I'm like chesty about their chances. That'll change if they beat Philadelphia. Every team in this league, I shouldn't say every, most teams in this league have enough talent to win just about any game that they're going to play. if you are the best version of yourself, if your offensive play caller and your defensive coordinator have great game plans, if your players are playing at their highest level, anybody in the NFL, most everybody in the NFL can be tough to beat. What makes you a true Super Bowl contender is when you're that best version of yourself way more often than not. I think we've seen two bad versions of the Lions this year, Minnesota and Green Bay. The Green Bay game didn't look like it was ever winnable. The Minnesota game, they weren't very good. They shot themselves in the foot. They made catastrophic mistakes, and they damn well still could have won the dang game. They could have won that game. Losing on the road at Kansas City, there's no shame in that. But Scott, they are set up to still make a run because more often than not, they are a really good version of what they can be. And it's consistency from the quarterback position. It's consistency from the weapons that they have. The playmakers they have are legit. And those playmakers extend from J-Mo and Gibbs to Brian Branch on defense and Jack Campbell and Aiden Hutchinson. Those guys are pretty consistent. The one variable that needs to show up every week is the offensive line, and it showed up in a big way, even with guys falling like flies. And here we are a week later, and look, the 39.3% that said they're done, no Super Bowl, I doubt a win over Washington moves the needle for them. But you got to feel better about them than you did a week ago.
Well, yeah, and I think you mentioned the two games that it did not go well for them, and then there are two games where it went exceptionally well for them. The Washington game that we just finished up and the Bears game, the second game of the season. Both of those were the games immediately after the bad games we saw them play. So if you look at the curve, you throw out the good, the great, and you throw out the awful, what is the middle? Well, the middle is a 38-point performance against Baltimore on the road where you won the game. Handling Cleveland, no problem, 34-10 at home. Winning at Cincinnati, throwing up 37 on the Bengals. A game against Kansas City, which we really haven't talked too much about this year other than that week. That was a game that was a little disturbing offensively. Maybe that fits in along because it's also the loss, but they just offensively, they only scored 17 points in that game, and they didn't look very competitive there. But the game against Tampa Bay, that was a defensive game that just totally suffocated the Tampa Bay offense. The games that were not the great games offensively are still really good. So there's reason to like this offense, which we had going into the season. What we didn't know is, would it look different with a different coordinator? Well, now it looks like the head coach is going to call plays, which if we said all along, it is Dan Campbell's offense. So now he's taking ownership of it again. And what we didn't know was, how is the offensive line going to look? It's a work in progress, and it continues to be because they have to shuffle along with guys that are hurt. But the effort they gave last night was so good. Awosika and Cologne in particular, after Glasgow went out. Glasgow was doing just fine and then gets hurt. And here comes Tristan Cologne, plays almost a half a football, and he looked just fine. Didn't look out of place at all. They had to throw Dan Skipper in there for a little bit. Penei Sewell left the game for a little bit. Fortunately, he came back. The offensive line did the job. They didn't give up any sacks. They had over 200 yards rushing. It was a hell of a performance from the offensive line. Nice job by Hank Fraley getting the guys ready to go. And even more importantly, kudos to the players that actually played in the game, because they're the ones that have to execute.
Maybe because it's so obvious we barely said this guy's name. I'm going to say this guy's name. Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah,
I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs was so good yesterday.
He needed a get-right game.
And he, they kept feeding him the football, and he kept going for 7, 8, 9 yards a clip. And the 43-yard touchdown run was a thing of beauty. Tim Twentyman tweeted out today, according to NFL research, Jahmyr Gibbs became just the 5th player in NFL history to score more than 40 touchdowns before turning 24. This club includes Barry Sanders, Randy Moss, Emmitt Smith, and Jim Brown.
Those guys good?
Sanders, Moss, Emmitt, Jim Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs. There's your 40 touchdown scores before the age of 24.
Yeah, and Barry Sanders was number one on the list with 47. Jahmyr Gibbs doesn't turn 24 until March 20th.
Yep.
He's got the rest of the season to move up that list and perhaps come close to Barry or pass Barry, which would be unbelievable. But those names on that list, those are legendary.
When you decide to do something very different, like hand the play calling duties, Dan Campbell took the play calling duties and took them over, and the difference from one week to the next look that stark, it's certainly something to be curious about whether or not Campbell really has a pulse on what to do with these guys. I mean, he said afterwards, I know what it's supposed to look like. I know, you know, what we're trying to get done in speaking to why it was successful. And I feel like if they go to Philly and win and look good offensively, the chestiness will be out of control in Detroit. Feedback coming in. My son went to the game yesterday and paid $180 times two for a flight and $72 times two for decent seats. Similar seats at Ford Field were $750 each. He flew in and out, so no hotel. It was much cheaper. So $360 in flights and $144 in tickets. So $604 for two to fly down and back and go to the game instead of $750. Yep, cheaper. Drive yourself, gas both ways, Verbo one night, food and drink is in Washington. I can see it. Okay, I don't know what is a wash. Oh, is a wash. Sorry. Is a wash, so I can see it. Stayed in the Red Roof Inn in Oxon Hill, Maryland. Guys, I was at the game in D.C. yesterday and currently sitting on a plane full of Lions fans. 40% sounded low to me from what I saw. It was overwhelmingly a pro-Lions crowd throughout, loud chanting all game long, hashtag takeover. That's from Bill and Warren.
Yeah, I mean, it was audible to start the game to hear the Let's Go Lions chant, and then later on you heard the Jared Goff chants. That's amazing.
Yep.
This fan base really supports this team, and they traveled to see them play. I also think that because they've turned things around as a culture and as a franchise, and they're fun to watch, they're just picking up random fans along the way too, like people that love football. They're like, oh, I like this team.
Yeah,
I'll go support this team.
From Scott, what I loved about the fourth downs on the last drive of the first half, they had two fourth and ones. They got them both. Then they end up with a fourth and four, and Dan Campbell kicked. I thought he played it right. It's like when you hit four times, you get to 17 and then stand. It's a good job not pushing it.
Yeah, made the right decision. Just get three.
Mm-hmm. 248-539-9797. Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This could be a really big deal. It could be. It might not be. I mean, it feels like you hear that. Doesn't it sound like he's trying to downplay the impact of him calling plays? Well, hey, man, it's all collaborative. Just trying to change things up a little bit.
What I think he's trying to do is make sure that people aren't reading in too much. Like, oh, John Morton's on his way out.
Yeah.
He doesn't want this to be anything that looks like it's a possible rift in the clubhouse, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think that's all it is. I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's, you know, it's always been Dan Campbell's offense.
I think it could be a big deal.
In what regard?
Well, I think it could be that they're going to be a really good offensive team the rest of the way. And that they were before, but I think really hit on all cylinders better than they were. Because even though numbers wise, we talked about it, they were second, third in the NFL, whatever it was, in points per game. It did feel like in recent weeks they hadn't run the ball as well. And, you know, it's a matter of them. Were they maximizing what they had offensively? And there have been a few weeks where it hadn't felt like they were doing that. And so I'm curious to see if they go out and they really look effective against Philadelphia Sunday night. And so I do think it could be a big deal. But it doing what they did against Washington doesn't confirm anything. It's a nice start, but...
Well, let's do it again because they did the exact same thing against Chicago in the second week of the season.
Yep.
So, and they responded the few weeks after that where they were scoring over 30 points. And then things got a little stale. The game against Kansas City, no good. And then the win over Tampa, but offensively, if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't all that great offensively against them. And then you had the loss against the Vikings. And all right, let's get back to focus on what we're doing right and what we need to do. And Dan says it's just a thing about rhythm, getting a different rhythm in play. Whatever, it worked. You know, the problems with the Lions' offense had been they weren't getting yards on first and second down. That was the problem, that they had too many stupid penalties to shoot themselves in the foot. When you have the pre-snap penalties, you know, false starts, or if you have a holding penalty, it's going to send you back 10 yards. Holding is so punitive in the NFL that, yeah, you're going to be having a harder time moving the ball downfield. This game was a clean game from the offense. So I think that might be the biggest revelation of all, is that they just were able to stay out of their own way.
Yeah, but was it clean because of the plays that were being called? Because Dan Campbell said himself, he knows his players, he knows what he wants. I think, to answer your question, Doug, I think it is a big deal that Dan Campbell is trying to make not a big deal.
Yep.
You know, and I think, like, the real question is moving forward, what's going to happen? So we'll get those answers when those guys talk this week. Are you going to continue calling plays? I know it's a collaborative effort. Everyone's involved. But in the end, who's going to be calling plays on game day? And I think it's going to be Dan Campbell, because he didn't like the way things were going. He's nipping this thing in the bud right now because they have Super Bowl aspirations and they don't want things to get out of hand.
No, and I mean, it was a really, really good offensive game. So you heard him talk about it, whether he was downplaying it or not, whatever. I think there's a good chance that we'll see him back in that role against Philly, and everybody's got to shift around their duties now offensively, because, you know, when the head coach is busy with the play calling and the play sheet, there are other things to pay attention to as far as the head coach is concerned. Meantime, they weren't the only team that had a good weekend. How about the Detroit Pistons? And how about Cade Cunningham of late? His point totals since the Orlando game, 30, 21, 33, 31, 34, 26. His fourth quarters have been dominant. His assist totals since the Orlando game, 10, 18, 8, 10, 10, 11. He has been exceptionally good. You know who else has been exceptionally good? Jalen Duren. The way Cade gets... fills up two categories. Same thing for Duren. Duren's points per game since the Orlando game, 21, 33, 14, 22, 30, 21. His rebounds, 13, 10, 9, 22, 11, 16. These are monster numbers being put up. And Jalen Duren, in fact, yesterday scored more points in the fourth quarter than Cade Cunningham. This 1-2 punch of blossoming young players. You know, we talked about how the East might be wide open because of the catastrophic injuries in Boston and Indiana. I'll take best record in the East after 10 games.
Yeah.
I'll take that. There's a long way to go, but this is a very promising start.
It is. And, you know, you mentioned, so I'll give the averages for those games you're talking about. In the last five, Duren's averaging 24 and 14, and he's shooting 84% from the free throw line. So
that's not a small deal.
No, you want to hack the guy, go ahead, put him on the free throw line. We'll take 84%. Cade Cunningham's averaging 29 points and over 11 assists while giving up just 3 turnovers a game during that stretch. That's great. On the injury front, we know that it's going to be a while for Jaden Ivey, but I think maybe another couple weeks for them to reevaluate where he's at. But Marcus Sasser remains out. He's going to be reevaluated in 4 weeks. But it sounds like they could add some really nice pieces to the backcourt by January. They're doing this. They did this last night without Beef Stew. He was out with a rolled ankle. And Tobias Harris was out. So they're not even, they don't have anywhere near their full complement of players, and they're just getting it done. So they got a game tonight. Washington's in town and not a good team. 1-9 on the season. Can't look past them. Just take care of it. Just take care of it.
Well, and he's making highlight level play. Cade's making highlight level plays. You talked about the dunk he had on Drummond. And who was the, he had the blocked dunk attempt a couple weeks ago. Can't remember. Somebody was moving it. Somebody had like a breakaway and he went up and rejected a dunk attempt. Like, there's a lot that this guy is doing. And, you know, I didn't watch SportsCenter today. I'm kind of disappointed because we were talking about how it doesn't matter what they win. They're not leading SportsCenter. It's always going to be like the Lakers. It's going to be
particularly on a Monday.
Yeah, not on a Monday. But it's and I don't really care. It doesn't change who they are. I just wonder when are they going to start? And we know how programming is done. It's done to ratings. When is Cade's performance and Durant's performance going to lead to ratings? And they get a marquee spot on SportsCenter highlights.
As soon as they cut Magic Johnson in on the earlier in the show.
That's a power move, some would say.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been awfully, awfully encouraging to watch.
It's been a very gratifying start. Yep. Very. And they're fun to watch. It's, you know, Jalen Durant plays above the rim so often that that's fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, watching the game last night, it got other players involved too. Other players want to lob it to Durant. It's not just Cade Cunningham that gets to do that. But defense shows up when they need to, and they got on a stretch last night when they were down, almost down by 10 points maybe. Actually, it was 10 points, double digits, and came right back. This is what this team is capable of, and it doesn't all have to be done with a three-point shot. They just methodically take you apart.
It was Jalen Suggs. It was in that Orlando game. It was Jalen Suggs whose shot he blocked. And love it. Love the way his team's playing. Can't say enough about JB Bickerstaff, the job he's doing with this team. I remember we took panicked calls after the opener, and they did not look good in the opener. It felt like
no team in Detroit does. It's
what we do, I guess. Looked terrible in the opener. Tigers got swept in L.A. to start the season, had a really good season. Red Wings got beat resoundingly by Montreal. The Lions got pounded at Green Bay. And the Pistons, opener against the Bulls, was ugly.
Yeah, I'm going to need the Red Wings to get back to playing hockey again. Losing three in a row, four of the last five, doesn't make me feel good. They're my chumps of the weekend.
They're making a run at it.
Yeah, and to know that they kind of spoiled the weekend with all the dignitaries that were in town for it, and kind of takes away some of the good feelings you had with that. But I'm encouraged. Nate Danielson's up with the team. Hopefully he sticks around. Yeah. Because that's a guy they thought had a real strong chance of making the team out of training camp, but had the injury, but I think had 5 points in four games at Grand Rapids that gets the call up and skates 16 minutes last night. Got four shots off. So we'll see how he transitions into the NHL now.
It's Carson Anderson, 96. There you go. That's his discussion with John Morton, what it was like. Hey, we were going to get some college football stuff, and we got sidetracked. Gator Michigan State news today out of Jonathan Smith. Anything stand out?
It just sounds like they might get some players back this week. Maybe they get Mekhi Frazier back. They might get one of the receivers back and a defensive tackle back, which will help out for sure. And also that not non-committal about the quarterback. Is it possible we could see both quarterbacks play on Saturday? It's possible. Mm-hmm. Though I would have a hard time believing that Alessio does not get the start on Saturday.
Yeah.
But you know, he mentioned that both quarterbacks have different skill sets that could play well at different times. So take advantage of it when you can. We'll see what they line up with. But it's an opportunity for Michigan State to finish the season strong. It'd be a big win if they get a win over Penn State, even though Penn State is not good record-wise this year. Seeing what Penn State did in the first half against Ohio State and what they did throughout the game against Indiana, those are two undefeated teams they were hanging with. It's not a terrible football team. It's a team that was dealt a terrible blow with the quarterback getting hurt for the rest of the year, but prior to that, they had lost a couple games anyway. But nonetheless, it's senior day at Spartan Stadium on that day. Let's hope they can get off on the right foot there.
So transitioning to Michigan Northwestern, I'm going to start by talking about Northwestern, but also related to Michigan State. Northwestern's head coach is David Braun. David Braun has a background as a defensive coordinator at North Dakota State. That's where he made his name. He got hired at Northwestern to be the defensive coordinator there. Then Pat Fitzgerald got let go, and he became the head coach. Gator, you've talked a little bit about maybe looking for that FCS guy, and if Michigan State does decide to make a change, that maybe they go that route, and there might be somebody at the FCS level. Are you still thinking about that or no?
I mean, I'm thinking about everything, but I'm not. I'm also not pushing Jonathan Smith out the door just yet.
No,
I think there's reasons to be a little more patient here and see what plays out. But I think you have to look and if you know already what's going to happen with a coach, and you know that you're going to move on from him, then yeah, you have to unturn every stone and find those guys, because the top coaches, there are too many better jobs out there than Michigan State. And those top coaches are going to go to those schools, and they're going to find the best situation for them. But there are some wild cards in the mix. Like, Pat Fitzgerald is just a wild card right now. Hasn't coached in a couple of years. We know what his situation was at Northwestern. You know, your hands are tied behind your back a little bit when you were recruiting and coaching there because of different standards. NIL world is totally different. And what would Pat Fitzgerald look like in, you know, when he's untethered?
So you're talking about Pat Fitzgerald at Michigan State.
Is that possible?
So yeah. did you hear his interview he did with the College Game Day podcast on ESPN? His wording is, I've basically spent the last couple of years getting my PhD in how college football works right now. And he really wants to, you know, say that he is paid close attention and talked to a bunch of people about the NIL and transfer portal world. So
yeah, but you know that the name that I brought up privately with you, the guy I was intrigued by, is the North Dakota State coach, Tim Polasek.
Yep.
He's got some Midwest roots, but he's just a guy's offensive line coach, offensive coordinator, and now head coach in North Dakota State, and he's 14-2 in his – actually more than that now. He was 14-2 last season.
Well, Braun at Northwestern has a defensive background. The points per game that they have allowed, 19.1 points per game, which is pretty good. Top six in the Big Ten. Do you know who's on their defensive staff? Harlan Barnett. Coaches of safeties there at Northwestern.
You know, I love Harlan.
They have one of the worst turnover margins in the NCAA. But I will say this. They had a dogfight going on Friday night against USC, and the play turned on the one game when Najee Story, the defensive lineman from Northwestern, picked off that screen pass in a 14-14 game, about 2 minutes to go first half, and the big fella's rumbling, bumbling, stumbling to the 10, to the 5, dives for the end zone, and he gets hit by Jaden Maeva. And that football comes out and rolls out of the back of the end zone for a touchback. So USC, trying to put together the two-minute drive at the end of the first half, throws a pick, but immediately gets the ball back on the 20 and took three plays to go the length of the field to score a touchdown. So instead of it being first and goal from like the one for Northwestern in the last couple of minutes, it was a chance to take the lead. USC went up and completely changed that game. They also did something pretty shady.
They cheated.
The punt thing, well, they put on, I guess the rules call for you to give the other team a roster with the numbers, and their backup quarterback had number 80 on, which was the same number as their starting punter. And they put him out on the field, threw a pass.
They put him on the field to punt, and there was a fake punt.
And with the backup quarterback wearing the same number as the punter.
To the point where Jason Benetti, who was broadcasting the game, where he was fooled. And then he felt awful because his former broadcast partner, is it Brock Heward, his former broadcast partner, that's his son. Yep. I think son or nephew. Sam Heward is the guy who ended up throwing the football. And they were talking about what a great throw this guy. Look at the form that he's showing here. And yeah, he's a quarterback. And I don't like it. I think to me it seems like you cheated. You changed the number, I think, like last week. and you had this in mind all along that you were going to do this at some point. I don't like that. You don't need to do that if you're USC. Come on. You're better than that. That's just low. I didn't like it at all. And I thought the Big Ten came out and made a statement saying, yeah, that's not something they would conduct.
Yeah, they don't want to see that anymore. But Northwestern has a good running back in Caden Kamalafe, who was their third stringer, and they had a three-time captain running back ahead of him, and a kid got hurt, and Kamalafe's gone in, and he's gone over 100 yards each of the last two games, averaging 7 yards a carry. They have a problem with turnovers, okay? And so Michigan is one of the best turnover margin teams in the country against one of the worst turnover margin teams in the country and one of the worst teams on third down defense in the country at Northwestern. But they can run the football, and they're not a bad outfit. You better show up and play. And with Michigan, their efforts the last two games after Washington, offensively, there have been struggles, specifically in the pass game. They've been able to run the ball, but they haven't been able to pass it. So let's see if they can get that going this week.
One thing I forgot to mention about Polisek, the head coach at North Dakota State, who I like.
Yeah.
I mentioned he was 14-2 last year.
Yeah.
Add 10-0 this year, so he's 24-2.
Yeah.
Won a national championship last year and has a chance to.
So this is your own creation. There hasn't been anybody else.
Nothing.
It's just you.
Just me.
Jonathan Smith's still the coach, right?
Yeah. For now.
Yeah. I'm just making sure.
Yeah. Look, I said I'm not pushing him out the door, but if I have to do some digging and looking, I'm just, trying to present something.
Yeah, well, I like it. My champ is Amari Cooper, Indiana. What an amazing catch, especially with that game situation. My chump is Brian Daboll. The Giants blew a 10-point lead, and Daboll will probably be the next coach let go. That's from Jeremy in Ipsy, who sent this over before he was let go. My champ is Gibbs and St. Brown. My chump is the Red Wings for lacking any effort. That's from Ben on a cell. My champ is Dan Campbell taking charge like a great head coach should and straighten out all the questions we had after last week. My chump is Payne and Kinlaw from the Commanders for their BS. It's from John in Dearborn. Champ, the Lions for yesterday's game. Chump, Mother Nature for bringing us February and early November. That's from J-Rad in Sterling Heights.
Oh, get over it.
I mean, we kind of knew the bill was due. You had an extended summer.
Have we not lived here?
I'm just saying, we had summer all the way up through October, guys. You're going to pay for this.
It'll be like 60 next week, or who knows. It'll happen and get back. It's November in Michigan.
I've been trying to figure out. I think I may have a champ and chump who's the same person. Have you guys ever had that?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Who you got?
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
May have been the most clever thing, but why did you pick a game against Northwestern to pull off this con of having the punter and the backup quarterback with the same number?
I don't like it.
Don't they got Oregon coming up, right?
Right. Like, you didn't need to do this, but I'm like, that would be brilliant to do because they kind of put it in the program. Like, no, we didn't hide it. It was there.
It was in the program. It said number 80, the Heard kid, the backup quarterback. Like, yeah, Big Ten's going to do something, it sounds like.
They did. They already said you can't have same number for same position. So the second he lined up as punter, now, what if he went under quarterback and then, like, just ran? You know how sometimes the quarterback does the pooch punt?
Yeah. I think the antenna would have been up if he lined up as a quarterback. Like, they wouldn't have.
Yeah,
because that's what it didn't help. But the antenna was not up when they saw number 80 back there. What
they've
do you guys
done some things with numbers at UCLA. I mean, USC. So this is the first time they've
cheated. No, it's not the first time they've cheated. They've cheated forever. We know this.
What do you guys got planned coming up next?
It was a game yesterday. It was pretty good.
Yep.
Dan Campbell with the glasses taking over, and can you go back to Morton calling the plays, or his dad saying, you know what, I got the wheel. Get in the back seat.
Have a great show. Stay safe, everybody, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused,
is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.